Joining me for the March edition of Our Town is Matt Braun with Braun Hospitality. And he is, of course, the person who is leading the forge there over on Spruce Street for the new Wyndham Microtel. And Matt, you gave an update with the city with Fura a little while ago. Give me kind of an update on where we are. I see a lot of progress being done over there.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So, since you and I spoke, we closed the financing last late fall, early winter. We actually ended up getting things done and probably the end of November, the beginning of November, and then executed a contract with the GC Todd Construction. You'll see their signs around town. Todd broke ground on the 1st of December. So they had a month to get things procured and get things bought out and contracted and get the permits pulled. They, of course, had been submitted and ready to get pulled. And then from December 1 through last week, they were just getting the site work prep completed, getting the underground utilities in, and getting the slab placed. We had a little storm come through a few weeks ago. You might remember I was flooding all over. That delayed our concrete placement by a week. Once that was in, the following Monday, that went in on a Friday, the following Monday, they started putting up the prefabricated walls. So those walls were put together by Murlins, the contractor doing the framing and concrete, and sent them out prepackaged. And so as quickly as the crane could take them off, the guys could take them and set them in place. They dropped the steel in also. So we should be getting ready to go up to the second floor here pretty quick.
I don't want this to sound political by any means whatsoever, but with the situation, rising oil costs and everything, does that affect you? Are you secured in your finances where these changes won't really affect the cost of the construction?
Yeah, when we contract, we typically are able to contract around most material escalation risks. We basically authorize folks to go buy them immediately upon signing the contract, which means now I've taken that risk and I've handed it to you. Some contracts, like concrete, for example, will have fuel riders in them, and so they will, they'll tie it to certain fuel rates, and if fuel rates go above that amount, then they kick in a little surcharge associated with your project. My bigger risk sits right now with tariffs, to be honest, because you can't contract around tariffs. They're essentially a tax, and taxes are excluded from most contracts unless they were established before the contract was executed. So it's a force majeure type cost. And so I have a lot of invoices that come through and say, and the tariff associated with it is X amount of money, and it can be painful sometimes. I do my best to buy locally, but there's just some things you can't get that are U.S. made, so...
What are some examples of something that you just can't get here in the U.S. that has to be shipped over?
Electronics is a classic example.
Yeah. That's probably a big one there. So I'm guessing I did not watch the Fura meeting that you gave the update in, so I wasn't, but I'm pretty sure, I guess, the city's kind of happy with the progress so far. I mean,
Well, I can't speak for the city, but they certainly expressed
delight. Were they smiling when you talked?
They expressed delight to me. One of the gentlemen said, well, you're not here to ask for an extension, and that's a nice change.
Yeah, really.
So what is the nice overall change for me too?
Yeah, what is the overall time frame now? Still on target?
Well, obviously it slid from the original projections 4 years ago. But once that contract was executed, we hit the ground running. On my LinkedIn, I have a video that I posted with our superintendent, Mark Johnston, great guy over at Todd Construction. And we are going to be topped out and roofed in that first week of June. Then we start building out the interiors. We expect to be complete around the 18th of December. With what we call substantial completion, which means it's ready for general occupancy, but there might be some closeout things that need to happen. And then it takes 6 weeks or so to what we call a burn-in period to get folks trained up, make sure everybody's hired, make sure all the parts and pieces for actually serving people are in place. And we're looking at probably late January, early February opening. That gives us, 6 weeks or so until spring breaks start happening. There's three spring breaks that hit Florence because of where it's situated. You got Oregon, Washington, and California. So the waves of tourists that'll be coming in March, we'll have a hotel that has been open for a few months, folks trained up and ready to serve the tourists who are coming in to see lovely Florence.
Does the hotel industry do kind of like the restaurant industry does, where they do like a little cold opening, kind of work the bugs out, see what's happening there, or do they try, or do you try to get all the bugs out before that first guest comes through the door?
We're going to try to get the bugs out before the first guests come, but as you know, there's always like, oh, we should have thought of this. We're very fortunate, and we have a partner called Marite Hospitality. They're over there in Springfield. Actually, I think it's Marite Hotels, and the owners and operators there, they've got 24 hotels, I think, currently in their portfolio. A lot of this type of hotel. And all around Oregon, including, destination hotels like this, drive-to destinations, they're very, very familiar with how to open and run a hotel. And I've been really lucky to have them as project partners and as operators of this hotel.
This may be something that's privileged information, so you may not be able to answer this, but when it comes to occupancy in a hotel this size, what do you look for to go into the black? I mean, how much is your occupancy needs to happen in order to be, quote, successful?
Yeah, I it, th that's a that's there's more information there than I want to give out. I can't answer this. As an industry, what we look to for kind of market studies is a 70% occupancy. And what that says is, hey, it's time for another hotel. You certainly don't need to be at 70% to make money. And each hotel, of course, has kind of got a different secret sauce on what that break-even number is. And we're actually hoping to be sitting right around 70%. That is what the market studies we pulled showed, is that Florence, on an annualized basis, sits right around 68%. And we expect to take a little bit more market share. And we were pulling studies, from other areas because there aren't any interior corridor hotels currently in Florence. So this is kind of the first of its type in the town. So we kind of had to pull from a little bit larger area than we typically would. And we think that there's a good sign that this is going to be a successful project for the town and for the investors, and we're excited to be part of it.
Did the two of the other hotels in town that did a partnership with Wyndham, does that affect your operation there?
Not at all. Wyndham is a very large brand, and they have a lot of different flags. Those were conversions, and the construction people who help drive it aren't the same. There may be some touch points on some of the client experience or brand management, but quite frankly, I haven't run into those yet. In general, though, my experience has been at kind of further down the chain of who the brand touch points are. And then eventually, of course, it gets up to Wyndham, the big company, but we're quite a ways below that.
What is the chronological plan for staffing, hiring, getting folks in? I mean, I'm sure you're a little bit away from that since you're talking about a January opening, but what's kind of the idea there?
Yeah, so about 3 months ahead of time, we'll be hiring a general manager. The general manager will come in, and they will be responsible for kind of setting up the systems and beginning the staffing plan. So, we absolutely looking for qualified, eager, and interested hotel operations folks, from front desk to housekeeping, bookkeeping to the general manager. We've got a bar there, so we're going to be opening up a bar in the summer. We expect it'll be open all the time. In the winter, we'll go to weekend hours only. So we've got a lot of different roles we're trying to fill. Staff, full-time equivalents, probably around 12 people or so. And of course, it's a bit seasonal, but yeah, we'll be hiring those folks by end of January. Sorry, end of December, beginning of January. So we've got a few weeks to get them trained up and work through the bugs we were talking about earlier.
I'm guessing there, with our issues here with housing and that, there was probably never a plan to have in-house management, right?
No. Two different uses would have been a very different path. The brand doesn't support that. We recognize and have had a lot of conversations with the city about workforce housing challenges in Florence. I've even made introductions to folks who are experts, kind of statewide, but based up here in Portland. I know the city takes that challenge very seriously, and is exploring a lot of different options to figure out how to bring more affordable housing in. And as a business owner now in Florence, this is important to me. And we did identify it as a risk, even very early in the project investigation. When I come down there and chat with folks, and hear about what folks are paying for rent, it's shocking. And we've got housekeepers and managers who are going to need to be living pretty close, in order to really have a sustainable income and costs associated with serving our clients.
Now, how does this work from your end once the building is built and everything? Do you still retain ownership of this, or does this go passed on? I know a lot of people say, never want to sell real estate, so I'm guessing.
No, we haven't. We you have to build a business plan around something, and so you have to assume some sort of exit. It doesn't commit you to it, but our intent is to hold on to it. We've got a number of different investors involved. I think we've got 11 investors involved, and they're all wanting a return on investment, and so we've got to make sure we've got the hotel operating long enough and successfully enough to provide that. At some point in the future, it's conceivable that we would sell it. A hotel is a piece of land, but it's also a complex operation. And my company is a development company primarily. We're not an operations company. And there are folks who buy established, successful hotels and have a portfolio of them. Now, is it conceivable that we would hang on to it? Sure. I'm not decided yet which direction things will finally go. But we do have an exit strategy that is baked into the business plan. And at some point in the future, it's likely that we would sell it, but we don't have to. It's kind of what we decide is going to be best for the investors.
So while this is ongoing, does Braun Hospitality, are you continuing to look for other projects, or do you have other projects in the works that you are trying to get off the ground?
Yes, it's a I'm a pretty young business when it comes to hotel development, and so this is kind of a bellwether project for us. So we need it to be successful, and we need it to show a good return. And after a few months of operation, we will pivot to start looking at other opportunities. I've got four more open licenses that I can go fill in Oregon with Wyndham Microtel, and we're looking at similar operations. We'd love to find public-private partnerships. We think that that is really a gold standard for how to embed yourself in communities who are interested and curious and wanting it. And I would say the city of Florence, generally and Fira specifically, have been just huge advocates and partners for the project. We love that. We also love drive-to destinations, so places where people want to go either for work or for play. We've got our eye on several locations that we think will be just ideal, perfect for the types of clients that we're going to serve. And so after this one is complete, assuming, knock on wood, that it's successful, then we'll pivot to start filling those other opportunities.
All right. And again, you're hoping to be open January 2027, correct?
Yeah, February. We'll say
Somewhere around
February for
there.
now. If we
All
get
right.
open in January, then we'll be excited.
Okay. Matt Braun Hospitality, thank you so much for the update. Keep us, you're always welcome here to let us know what's going on, any significant changes or exciting news. We're happy to hear it.
Oh, Mr. Henry, thank you so much for taking the time to interview me. And on behalf of all of Braun Hospitality and my partners, we're really excited about the level of interest and enthusiasm that's been displayed by everybody we've come across.
All right. Thank you so much.